Welcome to Feel Better Friday. We are here with Brian Landrum of the Alaska Brain Injury Network. March is Brain Injury Awareness Month, which I was not aware of before this year. Brian, can you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Well, I'm the executive director of the Alaska Brain Injury Network. We advocate and assist those with traumatic and acquired brain injury, traumatic being from an injury or a crash or something of that sort, acquired being through stroke or some sort of other physical ailment that may cause brain injury. So we assist those with advocacy where we can connect folks with other resources that may be able to help them in their journey. We offer educational opportunities not only for survivors and their families, but also providers. And then we also have the what's called the TABI mini grant, Traumatic and Acquired Brain Injury mini grant, that is facilitated by Senior Disability Services of the state. And we are the managers of that right now. And it helps folks with a small amount, sort of a gap amount of money, to help them get back on their feet after their brain injury, and helps them with medical, dental, automobile problems so they can get back into the community, assistive living devices, that sort of thing.
Can we break it down and kind of go back to the basics here for a second? What are some of the things that people should look out for in brain injuries? You mentioned both acquired and traumatic brain injuries. Are there signs that people should look out for more serious injuries, or is it really a matter of diagnosis once you go to a doctor?
You know, it's really complicated, and it's very complicated in the state of Alaska because there's really no post-acute kind of care in Alaska at this point. And one of the things that our organization is doing is we are part of a council that assists the state in information about a plan to be able to help folks long-term. That's sort of a broad answer, but getting down more specifically to what you asked, you know, a brain injury is sort of what they call the hidden disease. It's obvious if somebody has a blow to the head, let's say a concussion, they were playing basketball, or they hit their head on something, or they were in a crash. I mean, the obvious physical things that happen because of a brain injury, when somebody has that type of injury, are obvious. And a doctor will immediately say, okay, let's look, there's a concussion. But sometimes they're not so obvious. We can have a slight hit on the head, not think about it, bump our head getting into the car, and something as simple as that. And then, you know, 3, 4, 5, even 60 days later, you know, we're going, hey, I just don't feel right. I just kind of feel weird. And you don't associate with it and get far off into it and nothing was treated. And then, you know, your behavior may change. But the spectrum of symptoms is varied. It could very well be that there's behavior change with somebody that suffered. Maybe there might be pain associated, but maybe not. Cognitive is one of the biggest, where you just, you're there, you're playing, but you're not really fully at your game. And so, you know, you might just be a little bit off, and you maybe just associate it with, I'm tired today, that sort of thing. But it could very well be more serious. Vision issues is also another big one that happens. I would say that if somebody has a combination of symptoms like that, cognitive, vision, maybe even some hearing problems, dizziness, a combination of a couple of those or more, it's always good to seek help. There's a strange stigma with a lot of the folks we deal with brain injury, because you don't see an obvious injury. A lot of folks are hesitant to go to their doctor. They're afraid of being labeled by somebody that they might be, and if you pardon me being very blunt, crazy, because of their behavior. And sometimes the behavior is very simply diagnosed as a brain injury. I say simply, sometimes it's not so simple, but it's a good place to start. And I always urge people to tell their doctor, I'm not leaving until I get an answer. Something is going wrong with me. I just didn't get a bump on the head. I'm not feeling right. I need a diagnosis. I need something to find out. And then a lot of times you find out it's not brain injury. It is actually something else, maybe an actual illness that's the causation. But a lot of times it is a brain injury. So it gets very complicated. It's not necessarily a complicated disease. It's just getting to the point of diagnosis can be very complicated because the symptoms mimic so many other things that can happen.
Right. It sounds like the symptoms can vary quite widely, and also the cause can vary quite widely. It can be, as you mentioned, it can be a bump on your head when you're getting into the car or something like that. You also mentioned changes in behavior. Could you go a little bit further into detail there and talk a little bit about some changes in personality or behavior after brain injury?
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to preface to folks that, you know, I'm not a medical professional or trained in that. This is all evidence based from folks that we deal with on a daily basis that either call in or they're our regular clients at the Alaska Brain Injury Network, because we don't treat, but we do get them to the next steps if they need that help. So I just want to preface that. But so this is, you know, from my experience, some of the behavioral changes that can happen with somebody is, again, like I said, cognitive. A lot of it is, it could be that they were once a very happy-go-lucky person, and then all of a sudden they have a lot of mood swings. Or an angry person goes the opposite way, where they're very calm. Or somebody that was gregarious and fun-loving becomes a little bit more withdrawn. Another thing that we've seen is folks who don't understand boundaries anymore. Either that's verbally, where they'll say things they may not have said before, inappropriate in some situations, maybe have behaviors and again, do things that they would have never done before. And we've also seen cases where the people with brain injury become very narcissistic and things become about them. It's not always known on the particular individual whether or not that's because they're trying to say something that they can't say and they're making it about them, or simply the brain injury has caused something in their brain to kind of make them have that. I've dealt with a lot of people that, from what their family members say, were just very nice, calm, happy-go-lucky people, never self-centered, to going to be very self-centered, all about me, and it's got to be my way kind of thing. And it can be very scary for some family members, because in some cases, you know, violence has even come to play, where, again, somebody who cannot control their emotions and don't quite understand what's going on with them will sort of kind of break out. And so that's why the help is so needed. One of the things that I've noticed, and again, I don't know if it's necessarily because of the stigma or because of just the unknown or because maybe you didn't remember you had a head injury. We deal with a lot of people who simply never thought to go to their doctor, because a lot of people feel they hear brain injury and they automatically think, go see a neurologist, go get an imaging done or what have you. And that's missing a lot of steps. The first step is simply to see a regular healthcare professional that can eliminate maybe something else that may be causing this before we get to the diagnosis of brain injury.
In your line of work, you're obviously dealing with a lot of people who are at that place where they are asking questions about either whether they had a brain injury or where they should go next. What are some of the most common questions that you get from your clients?
Simply put, what do I do next? We either get people who have seen a doctor but feel like they haven't gotten the next steps, or we have people that believe that something's going on, but they have not seen anybody. So it's one or the other. It's either, hi, I think I've had a brain injury, or I know I've fallen down and hit my head. I don't know what to do. Or it's, you know, my doctor didn't do anything for me. Or even worse, we get people who have been in car accidents who legitimately had a concussion. So people will be dismissed from the hospital after they've had a car accident, for instance. And they're dismissed or discharged, and they feel like something is missing. They get home and something is missing. What do I do next? And so part of what, you know, we're trying to do is trying to create more awareness so patients and their families can ask more questions, so somebody simply just isn't wheeled out of a hospital or a doctor's office after an injury and said, you know, here's your discharge papers, have a nice day. Is there a next step? Should this person be brought to the next step of maybe there might be something just a little bit more that we need to investigate? So again, you know, the questions are always either from a family member. Hi, my son got hit a couple of years ago, 90 days ago, whatever. I'm not really quite sure. His behavior has changed. We haven't seen a professional. What should we do? Or we've been through this a very long time and we're still not getting anywhere. What do you think the next steps should be? And there are certainly some things that we help with to get people to those next steps, which we can obviously talk about.
I have kind of two questions. What are those next steps? And do you have any helpful hints for family members who care for people with brain injury? What they should expect or where they might go for help?
Yes. So the next steps really depends on the severity and then also the length of time that's going on and also the behavior. So let's assume somebody simply, you know, just they had a car accident this past weekend. And they, you know, they know that there was a slight concussion, but they're a little bit worried. So the next steps are really simple then. Just go back to the doctor and say, you know, I'm worried about this. Can we check this out? Let's eliminate other things, that sort of thing. And then on the other side of the spectrum, we've got people who have suffered from this a long time and their families have suffered either financially or emotionally, behavioral health-wise and such, and where they feel like the next steps need to be this person needs more help than we can offer. If it gets to that point, we typically refer people to case management agencies, and there's quite a few around the state, depending on the region. We don't specifically do case management, but because we work with so many of them, we have a pretty good idea of the next steps. What case management will do is it will help people kind of organize their life. It will help them decide what are the most important things that are suffering right now. So you have to get to the root of the problem and sit down and discuss budgets with some people, you know, financial issues, making sure that they make doctor's appointments, making sure that they are eating correctly and that sort of thing. So case management agencies that we would refer them to or advocacy agencies that we would refer them to can help them with that. So they can eliminate all the stuff that they can't get to now so they can tackle all the little bitty things that they need to get on the next steps of their journey. And, you know, it can be pretty comprehensive and it can be time consuming, but it's very important that that people take this one step at a time. And it's tough to do because you want to jump right to the cure, so to speak. But unfortunately, with a brain injury, you know, there's not specifically a cure. Some people make it better or will get better. There's not a pill that's going to cure it. Just like diagnosing is a tough thing because it's not like that there's a test you can take. There's really no comprehensive test right now to say, yes, this person has a brain injury. It's just done by a series of eliminations.
Before we go today, what are some of the most important resources people can tap into?
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that I just tell people is that if you feel like somebody in your family has had a brain injury or yourself has had a brain injury, take a deep breath. It sounds simple to say that. Take a deep breath. And sit down and write down all the symptoms, write down what you're feeling, and then go to your provider and tell them exactly what you're feeling. No assumptions, no speculation, just, okay, at 2:25 p.m., my head was hurting really bad. At this time, I couldn't remember something that I used to be able to do like the back of my hand. Write all these things down because it's going to be, you know, good for your physician to know. And it's also going to help you on the back end to see the steps that you've made and the strides that you've made. And obviously see somebody. For those in the family, be understanding and continue to, you know, love and nurture the relationship and read up as much as you can on what's happening. And also take time for yourself if you end up in a long-term situation with somebody brain injured. And remember that those that are brain injured sometimes cannot control themselves. So their behavior is not necessarily aimed at you. So don't take it personal. Our website, alaskabraininjury.net, has a lot of materials as far as reading materials. It also has tips of the day for Brain Injury Awareness Month to help people work on some of the things they may be dealing with. It also has some other resources that people might be able to find. There are several large organizations that can really help, and one of those is the United States Brain Injury Alliance, and then the other one is the Brain Injury Association of America, and they also have some really, really good materials that can help folks out with brain injury. the biggest piece of advice I can give is be honest with yourself and know that there may be a problem, but you're not going crazy, and see a healthcare provider immediately and be honest with that person, and don't leave without some sort of answer, because it may not be a brain injury. It may be, but they can help you with your next steps. So those are the biggest pieces of advice that I can give. And we're always there. All of our contact information is on our website, again, alaskabraininjury.net. And then I want to speak really highly of the TABI Mini Grant Program, which offers $2,500 a year for those with brain injury, up to $5,000 over a five-year period. And it's a very simple application, and we've just made it easier by putting it on our website. So from start to finish, and all you need from that is a verification of diagnosis from a doctor, and that paperwork is on our website, downloadable. And we need whatever estimates or whatever items you need. And those would become, in this order, medical, dental, housing, adaptive needs like wheelchairs, special computer equipment, anything like that to be able to tackle day-to-day life, transportation, whether that's bus passes or a car repair to get you back into the community, which is probably one of the most important things, is interacting with people. And so, again, I'd like to, you know, really speak highly of the TABI Mini Grant Program, because it can help people with these little bills that are just kind of a thorn in their side, and help them with, some utility bills and that sort of thing. And again, that application is at alaskabraininjury.net. And there's also information about support groups there as well through one of our partner agencies. Right now, because of the pandemic, those support groups are being done via Zoom. They do a great job with that. And that's probably the biggest advice I can give people, is make sure you connect with others around you and your support group, so you realize you're not alone in this journey.
And that information will be available on KDLG.org. Brian Landrum, thank you so much for joining us today, and have a wonderful weekend and a wonderful Brain Injury Awareness Month.
Thank you so much for having me.